What's good, everybody? Happy Sunday fun day. This is the But It's Basic show every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. here at DTF Radio. I like the way that sounds. Got some great guests in the building. This is the platform for the unknown to get known. My name is Butter. Nice to be here with you on a Sunday fun day, man. This is dope. Bring in some happy vibes to everybody. Where you cruising right now? Yo, even though we're in Brooklyn, New York, we still internationally local here on the Brooklyn tip still. And I'm thankful that my ancestors have brought me together with you today on a post-Father's Day weekend. I love to have people around me that are grounded in their foundation for what they represent as their purpose. So I'm glad to be here with some great men and women that have a human effect on humanity. There's not too many people right now that's being humane with each other. I know y'all walking around with your masks on by yourself like, fuck this, yo, you ain't giving me the Rona. Y'all ain't getting me with that Rona. I know a lot of people that's on high anxiety right now from start to whenever the finish is of this coronavirus situation. But it's a beautiful thing to still say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, how you feel. When I look at you in your face and you're walking past me, let's be familiar in some type of way where it makes sense for humanity, that we don't forget that, yo, if something happens to this person on the street and I'm there, I'm not just gonna film it. I'm gonna try to help you exist further in this life. I wanna see you thrive still. So I'm thankful for that. You know, big ups to everybody right now. Shout outs to Queen Y and everybody that is Team Butter's Basics. Everybody, DJ Oso, DJ Taz, DJ Hannibal, man, everybody that has ever come through to the show, all the artists that have been at home creating still through the whole plandemic. We out here still. Welcome to the world, internationally local here, But It's Basic show every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m., DTF Radio, platform for the unknown to get known. Can I get a hello from my guests? You guys can say hi.
Hello, my lady.
Hola. Oh, man.
Big up.
It's really dope. Kimmy Kim is on the left of me, the best of me, sitting here with me. Juicy.
Yeah.
AKA Juicy.
yes, you know.
Juicy, tell them where they can find you on Instagram.
Oh, we at Quit While You're Ahead. That's QUITWHILE. URAHEAD. Quit While You're Ahead.
That's a whole lot. Quit While You're Ahead. Tell them why.
Well, because I used to be a gambler. That's what it used to start out as. Now I'm just living life, and it's almost like a gamble, right? And sometimes you just gotta quit while you're ahead, while you're right on top, and you just leave and go home with the winnings.
Go home with the winnings, kid?
Yeah. Be a winner at all times.
Oh, stick. Yo, oh. Hannibal is on the left of Juicy. DJ Hannibal's in the building. I love you get like the scholarly, brainiac type of feel.
Always ready.
To the situation.
Always ready.
Hannibal, tell them where they can find you at on the gram, hun.
Definitely at MT1906 SP91, just indicating my fraternity and the year I pledged. Life is good.
Well, damn, what fraternity are you a part of?
Well, that would be Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the first historically black fraternity founded December 4th, 1906 at Cornell University.
Oh, excuse me.
He has his scriptures.
Shout out to all the alphas.
Big
shout
up.
Out to SUNY Buffalo, all the alphas out there that were my homies out there. We threw parties with Q Dogs, alphas, everybody, Zetas, Deltas.
Those are all my children. I love them all.
Oh, okay. Oh, excuse me. Well, damn. We're not going to start any inter-rival situation, but you say you're the first...
The first historically black fraternity. And in the end, look, all the fraternities and sororities, to me, are ways for people of color to be cordial and be brotherly to each other. And that's where it begins and ends. But somebody had to be first.
Oh. Boom. It's just what it is, kid. Mm-hmm. Yo, sitting to the left of you, we got right now International 5. You can follow him on the gram at International 5. And now he has a whole brand of podcast uniting black voices. Five, talk to the people, honey.
How y'all doing? Yeah, my name is International 5 on the gram, at International 5. Also, I started a movement called Uniting Black Voices. That's at Uniting Black Voices on the gram as well. Basically, I'm a movement that's trying to, my podcast is about speaking about things in life, you know, on a political level, you know, on an activist level. This is one of my passions. I was once a rapper. I was once, you know, in the streets. I was once lost. And during my incarceration, I've been reading a bunch of books, getting involved into a lot of different things. But at the time, I still wasn't into, you know, the right things, the right path. And I was still into the music world. And once I left all that alone, I decided that this is the route that I wanted to go. So I started Uniting Black Voices. And
What is Uniting Black Voices supposed to do for us?
Well, basically, Uniting Black Voices is bringing us together as a black people, teaching us as well of history, of real history of what took place with us as black people, getting us to love each other, you know, because in our community, we don't love each other. We don't have no...
You feel like there's no love?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We have the highest rate in crime. We have the highest rate in... just the other day, I've been watching on Instagram, you got a black woman getting thrown in a garbage can.
I'm not trying to laugh at that, but there's been a lot of comedic things where women put themselves into improv situations.
It doesn't matter.
That they put themselves into the garbage, and it's like...
It doesn't matter.
So tell me what you saw that made you feel offended about that.
They say a man is not supposed to hit a woman, right? I put it like this. A lot of times that us as black men, a lot of times as black women, we as black men, we are the leaders. God put us on this earth to lead as men. We supposed to be black women protectors, right? So the black men, now the way I look at things is when I see a black woman led astray and I see they call her hood rat, ghetto, hood booger, whatever, that comes from the mentality. That comes from the mentality of she didn't have a father around. She didn't have a male figure around that raised her. So therefore, what do she know? When she grow up to a certain level and she get to a certain level and her mother don't know or she wasn't raised right, then she goes into the street. And majority of the black men in the streets come from the hood are broken. A lot of us, we don't know. A lot of us in the streets, our mentality, we don't have the proper mentality. We are not raised with the proper tools that we're supposed to have when we are youth.
And you don't feel like that's just a general statement towards everybody. You're talking about just who exactly and where. What's the demographics that you're gearing that statement towards? Because not everybody feels like they're ghetto mentality.
When I say ghetto mentality is, you can live in the suburbs and not in the ghetto or in the projects or on the streets and still have that type of mentality. You know, you don't have to be raised in a project to have a ghetto mentality. A ghetto mentality is just a ghetto mentality.
What's your definition of that?
I would say a ghetto mentality is someone who doesn't look for much in life, that accepts anything, that doesn't really have any type of goals, a person who's oppressed, you know?
Okay, so before we go into more of that, let's talk to who's next to you, introduce the next guest, right? So now, let's just say, International 5 has a web, you can look him up on the web.
Yes.
Anybody can on Instagram. But he also has a podcast called Uniting Black Voices, and it addresses issues within the black community.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Now, next to him, we've got Shake 'Em Up Podcast.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me? It's me, Shakespeare Michael Thomas. I'm happy to be here. Yes. What's going on? I got a lot of energy. I'm on 7,000, guys. I'm on 7,000.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. I woke up.
Yeah.
So Shakespeare's in the building with the Shake 'Em Up podcast.
That's right.
What is your podcast address normally? I know you're a sportsman.
Yes. First of all, I am a father, and I have three beautiful kids. I love to take care of my kids. That's first. And I love sports. Thank you very much. Thank you, my lady. I used to play basketball, professional basketball in Spain, a town called Sevilla.
Nice.
So one time I went to visit my buddy because he made it. Shout out to DP. He was on the team already. I went over there, check him out. I was shooting my ball. There was an agent in the stands. He's like, ¿Qué pasa? Who is this guy? I said, I'm Shakespeare. He said, you know what? We need you on the team. Since then, after 3 years, from 2006 to 2008, I was a pro basketball player in Spain.
Nice.
So I was fortunate to play. So after that, you know, I have the background of bartending, hospitality and hospitals, hotels and country clubs. So I could make a mean apple martini, margarita.
Nice.
You know, so.
All of that?
I also have my podcast, Shake 'Em Up Podcast, where we talk about sports, entertainment, Black Lives Matter. You know, I'm on the wild side, so I like belly dancers, strippers. I have those on my show. I'm a wild guy, so.
Entertainment, man.
I'm entertainment, man. You know, I love to laugh.
What makes you want to come and talk with us about these type of issues that we're, you know, because, you know, I invite everybody to come to the platform
right.
Same way. But the thing is like, if I say, we're going to talk about certain things, you know, I send you the email that lets you know the outline of what
absolutely.
We're, you know, and you're normally geared towards sports. But as a representative of your brand,
yes.
Do you feel it to be something important that we address certain things as well, too? Because what's the dude's name that does the is it Stephen Smith?
Stephen A. Smith, that's right.
Yeah. Right.
On First Take.
And you know, he's the dude. I like watching him. He's exciting.
Yes.
He mounts off.
He's very dramatic, right?
He's very dramatic.
He's very passionate about what he says and what he does.
And you know, sometimes he fucks up with the things that he said about fucking act like it ain't, you know, because he doesn't represent what everybody feels.
Right.
He represents how he feels. And some people might resonate with that. And some people might not. And a lot of times I'm looking at him like, yo, son, is this Uncle Ben or is he for real? Or like, you know, I like him though.
Right.
The same way, and I will say, the same way I like Candace Owens at times until she fucking degrades the situation of us. I'm like, yo, I just want to hold this bitch in a corner quietly where nobody's looking to cuff her in her fucking ribs a couple times. Like,
right.
Yo, bitch, listen to me. That's just me and my ghetto mentality
You're not alone.
I'm not alone, and it's all good. It's what it is. Today we're going to address so many different sweet issues. You know, this is but as basics. I've geared my season right now, the comeback towards anger management for the diaspora.
Okay.
So it's really important that we sip and relate to each other about certain things. And so I just find it great for everyone to know that we've got people of the diaspora sitting with us. What's your nationality, Shakespeare?
I'm from Haiti, matter of fact, Port-au-Prince. Okay. Yes, big up.
You got Dessaline in your veins.
Please.
You got Dessaline.
Gasoline, please. Mbezwen. Kunya. Thank you.
Five. What's your nationality, hon?
I'm American. I'm a Yankee.
Yeah, Yankee Doodle.
I'm a Yankee boy.
All right. Hannibal, tell the people.
Solid legacy of American slavery from Barbados and also Belize, British Honduras.
I knew he was a Bajan. You only have blood clot Bajans. Are like you're flying fish. You look like you like to eat cuckoo.
Peace to the king.
Things like that. Mm-hmm. Don't act like you don't know what cuckoo is, motherfucker, when I tell you about that. All good.
I'm just listening to the commentary.
So now, Juicy,
yes.
What's your nationality? I always like to let everybody know who we are at the beginning of this thing, because when we get into these conversations, when people start commenting certain things, I want them to address it to why they feel that way about who, because it's the diaspora is so big.
Right.
And one of the things that I definitely want to address today is like, yo, mass exodus or mass expulsion? How do we feel about, like, yo, if we really was to get up for real, and say, yo, we don't like this. We don't like how y'all carrying on. Y'all making new rules, and we don't have no parts in how the Monopoly game is being played on the board. We're out of here. Real talk. If we could really get out of here and everybody just say, fuck it. Tired of this shit. If you're really tired, why won't you leave? Where are you gonna go? Do you know who you are to go there, and why would you go there instead of staying here, which is mass expulsion? Because that means we're gonna stay here and get rid of whoever the fuck is here, because not for nothing, history repeats itself. I said this time and time again. If history is repeating itself, there's different ways that we can go. Mansa Musa came through. Attila the Hun came through. Mad different people came through, and war is fought in so many different ways. But I want us to be conscious of the fact that the white elite system has already moved into outer space with their shit. Taken out off of the planet Earth and said, we gonna go out here now and do what we do out here. You guys stay here, argue amongst yourselves, peons.
Right.
And fuck around with each other while we go out here. And you, when we get back, you're gonna continue sucking our dicks. I'm sorry to be an asshole about it, but I see through the whole fucking game plan. If we're not expanding mentally on the situation within each other's circumference, we're never going to talk about how we're going to advance past oppression. Because people are superseding what we're going through and on to the next while we sit here amongst each other talking about peon business.
So, Butter, can I jump in with
a
few counterpoints? I think the phrase you were looking for is, those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. I don't believe that history is repeating itself. I think it's evolving, and there's a difference. Because the idea of convincing people to leave and go where and get what? And the question becomes, is not America as crazy and as terrible as her history is, as much as she goes through turmoil, is there not more opportunity here than elsewhere? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, but I have a belief in that. And there's actually a point, Kim, that you raised last week that I wanted to address, which is the idea of, in a riot, why is it all right to think that it's all right for businesses to be burned? I just wanted to add, you know, the business that I was a party to was on the first floor of an apartment building. So if that business got burned, it would be burning people out of their homes, which is why for me, when somebody says, is it fair for somebody to do violence to a rioter? I sit there and say, I will do violence to you if you're trying to put somebody out of their home. You don't have a right to do that. And if you think that the people are going to stand by and say, oh, it's okay, I understand you're upset, you white person carrying your Black Lives Matter sign, my black life has always mattered, and it will matter to your detriment if you try and destroy my business. I want to be clear about that.
Understood. And you did state that last week in regards to your business and your business being fruitful. And I don't have a problem with businesses that are black being fruitful or anyone's business being fruitful. But in war, there's always going to be casualties, as I said last week.
Yeah, but this is a predictable
casualty.
I
hate that terminology, too. I get it. It's there. It's always going to be happening. Along with the fact that, yeah, you're saying that you're protecting these folks. Why didn't they come outside and help you protect it?
Well, the owner of the building did.
That's not what we were talking about. You were protecting the business.
Right, no, and I was protecting the building. And the owner of the building lives in the building. Okay. So he came downstairs with me, and we went out into the streets. We cleaned up the garbage. And when they came to grab more garbage, we made it very clear to them, you're not doing that.
Let me ask a question, and I'm not trying to be an asshole. The owner of the building is
a
black
Caribbean
man,
family.
Right?
Absolutely.
Black man.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. So you can, there's no problem who or what color the owner of the business is, as long as they're protecting their property and people respect that.
That's all. That's
it. So now, I'm going to go back to this. Ghetto mentality, right?
Yeah, you raised, you put out some good information about the origin of the word ghetto and having it come from Europe, and it's always meant areas where poor people are.
So. I'm going to read this to everyone that's listening right now, because, you know, this is series right here about anger management addresses so many different things. So let's just, you know, how the dictionary and Wikipedia addresses it, because when people Google things, this is what they come across. A ghetto, often, the ghetto is usually part of a city in which members of a minority group live, typically as a result of local, legal, and economic pressure. Ghettos are often known for being more impoverished than other areas of the city. Versions of the ghetto appear across the world, each within their own names, classifications, and groupings of people, and the term was originally used for the Venetian ghetto in Greece, in Venice, Italy, as early as 1516 to describe part of the city where the Jews were restricted to live and thus segregated from other people. However, early societies may have formed their own versions of the same structure. Words resembling ghetto in meaning appear in Hebrew, Yiddish, Italian, Germanic, Old French, and Latin. Ghettos in many cities have also been nicknamed the hood, colloquial slang for the neighborhood after it's shortened to the hood. During the Holocaust, more than 1,000 Nazi ghettos were established to hold Jewish populations with the goal of exploiting and killing the Jews as part of the final solution. The term has been widely used in the United States to refer to inner city neighborhoods that are mainly African American or poor. Ghetto has deep cultural meaning in the United States, especially in the context of segregation and civil rights. It's also used in some European countries to refer to poor neighborhoods. So now the mentality that comes along with ghetto can be defined within everybody's context. Okay? So now, I don't want to delve into ghetto mentality with people that might be listening. Everyone has their own separate definition, but we all know it means that you are the bottom of the fucking barrel.
It's fat.
You're the bottom of the barrel, and a lot of people, because of your skin color, think that you automatically come with ghetto. I saw this week a black lady in a store punch a white lady in her face several times for calling her nigger inside of the store. She said, "Call me nigger again." And the lady,
I think she deserved
proceeded
it.
To do it.
She deserved it.
Uniting Black Voices, how do you feel about when a black person confronts a white person about being called nigger, when we all at some point in time find camaraderie in the word nigger?
Well, from us using the word, black people using the word nigger, we don't supposed to use that word, period. And a lot of us, we have accepted or we have
found camaraderie in it. Like,
yeah, we have found, like, you know, where we accept our condition, and we've been using that for so long, the word nigger, and it's hard. I mean, don't get me wrong, I even use it sometimes. I've been trying to break myself out of it, so. You're absolutely right. There's a contradiction, there's hypocrisy with the word a white person using it and a black person using it. Now, see, when a black person uses it, it's the same thing. But we take it because we accept it. Rap music, all kinds of music, the neighborhood, the ghetto, wherever we go, we use the word nigger.
The young kids?
Yes.
The young kids love to use it.
But we keep passing it on as a tradition.
And you're absolutely right. But see, there's no buts. When a white person uses it, it comes from, it's more of a, see, with us, it's more of a ignorance. A lot of us is ignorant when we use that word. But when they use it, they come from the days of lynching you, right, burning you, tying you to railroads. They come from the Ku Klux Klans. They come from throwing your babies in the water, using them as alligators.
Alligator baits.
Yeah. That's what that word come from. So when a white person used the word nigger, it's deep-rooted hatred. Like, when they use that word, it's like, when they call you a nigger, it's everything that slavery came, it's all the hate that white people, the racist white people, not all white people, but the racist white supremacy have for black people, it's all that hate in that one word. And see, again, it doesn't make it better for a white person or a black person using it. A black person using it out of ignorance. A lot of us run around here, yo, what up, my nigga? Yo, what's popping, my nigga? And they don't understand the powerful, the impact, the history. And a lot of black people are ignorant. Just because you went to the highest universities, highest degrees, you got all, a lot of them are still ignorant to our culture.
Let me ask you a question. If there was a mass exodus out of the United States of everybody that was an African descendant of slavery, and we went back to Africa or the Caribbean, and, you know, do you think that it would be hard for us to stop using the word nigga towards our acceleration? Do you think that it would be a hindrance if you, as an African-American, went to Ghana, and then you went there and, like, you know, you saw your brethren and them, and you're like, you know what, nigga, please. You know, would it be camaraderie then? I'm not just saying. I don't know if they would understand. Or maybe they do that over there. I got to find out from my brothers.
But you got to put this in context. I mean, you say Africa, that comes from the word Afrique. That's a Roman word. The continent of Africa that we see today has been divided up along colonial lines.
Well, I'm talking about
Ghana. But I understand that. But even Ghana is, when you start talking about ancient African civilizations,
that's right.
They don't reflect what modern Africa is, which is why you can find people who are writing stuff who are from Africa that is just as ignorant and just
that's
as backward.
Fact. That's a super
But that's why there's so many assumptions to jump past to say, what would we feel like using that word there? I'm sitting
that's
here saying, what does there mean?
That's why my question is, what do you mean, what does there mean? There is, if we mass...
Like if we were to go to Liberia,
was,
or we were to
we
go to where?
If we mass exodus out of this land and went over there to a homeland situation, how hard would it be to stop referring to each other in a negative connotation?
That comes from... It has to be...
Kim, don't be too light-skinned to address this.
I think that word comes from...
She's getting mad. You want to hear my opinion about it?
I'm saying...
Because all words have their own definition, right?
Talk about it.
At the end of the day, the definition is from the original stance to the new stance. It's still the same fucking definition. Now, how we
utilize
it...
That's how I feel about it.
...is however we choose to utilize it. That's just like, you can have a friend and go, hey, ugly...
And it's like, knows that I'm ugly,
or
I'm ugly.
Or a Guyanese person saying, you mother skunk. You know what I'm saying? Somebody said that to me, and I was ready to tear their fucking head off. And then I find out it's a term of endearment.
Right.
Mother skunk is not fun. It's joking.
Again, it's a term of endearment, but the definition still stands. So if we go by definition, just leave that shit alone.
Yo, Shakespeare.
I was taught not to use that word because it is only defined by one thing. And if you allow anybody to say it to you, you have only allowed them to give you that one thing.
That's it.
It is what it is.
Shakespeare, let me ask you, Shakespeare.
Tell me.
When was the last time you've been to Haiti?
Oh, my gosh. No. That's a great motherfucking question. I came to the country when I was 6 years old. And I still haven't gone back yet. But I've been sending money back to my grandmother and everything. But tell me.
When you go to Haiti, will you ever call anybody down there, nigga? How would you feel doing that?
Yes, I would call my brothers, because my brother's down there. So if I see him, he'd be like, hey,
nigga.
What's up? I missed you. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know.
It's like a term of endearment.
Yes.
I hate nigga.
You hate niggas, but it's a nigga thing, nooker.
It's like a term of endearment, but it's.
I'm going to get over it eventually. Don't feel any ways about how I feel about it.
No. Listen, I hear what you're saying. It's a term of endearment to a lot of. No, let's put it. It's a term of endearment out of ignorance. That's all it is, period. If we was to exit this world, to this country and go to another country, will we still use it? I would say that's back with what I was saying. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have to be reprogrammed with us as a black race. Mm-hmm. A lot of things. And I'm going to say this, and a lot of people may dislike what I'm saying.
So what's the change?
What's the change?
Yes.
One of the number one changes to me from looking at a lot of things in life and coming from a lot of things in life and being a part of a lot of things in life, right? Words starts war, as you know. Words starts war. Words causes bloodshed. You can walk down the street, and I can call you a bitch-ass nigga.
Right.
If you're a gangster or so-called gangster or shooter, you're going to want to shoot my head off. That starts war.
Right.
Back to what we was talking about. Gangster rap. It promotes, it perpetuates, it encourages foul behavior. It casts spells. In the music, you hear shoot, bang, bang, bang. Nigga this, bitch that, bitch this.
Wow.
All this music, every day we hear this over and over and over and over and over. These kids is born in this world. These kids don't know nothing about the nigga word. They don't know nothing about that. They hear it over and over and over and over. Nigga, 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 bitch, nigga, nigga, bitch. It's like a sponge. It dissolves right into their brain.
Right.
And that's my point when I was saying about gangster rap. Mm-hmm. Gangster rap, it teaches and encourages everything that's wrong with this world today.
Now I have one counterpoint. And my counterpoint is not to dismiss anything that you said, because I agree with the potential influence. But we are in a country that was founded on killing the native population and not paying people for 400 years. And then the hundreds of years that followed the legalized repression and suppression. So the strange part to me is gangster rap, I don't want to hold that up as, well, that's the reason. Because gangster rap is relatively new. And the problems that we're talking about are problems that are hundreds of years old, that go back to the idea of, you've been freed as a slave, but you have no land. You've been freed as a slave, but you don't have any food. You've been freed as a slave, but you can't vote. And you've been freed as a slave, you have no rights. Trouble is that when you've dehumanized somebody to that point where they're sitting there saying, where's my language? Where is my culture? Where am I as a human being? What happened to the family? Gangster rap is a reflection of something, and you're right. It can have a negative influence, but I don't want to give anybody an out and say, you see, the problem is, if you niggas wouldn't call each other niggas, then you wouldn't have the problems that you have. I like wish it was that
said.
Easy.
And I like what you said. And I'm a count of that. Mm-hmm. I like what you said. But what's been going on with us and white America, what they've been doing to us, it has everything to do with gangster rap, right? I'm gonna tell you why. Because white America, the white racist ones, the white supremacists, is the one who created the gangster rap.
The original gangster
rap. Hold on. They mm-hmm. created the gangster mm-hmm. rap. If you read about it in the papers mm-hmm. or many years ago, where one of the executives admitted that he was a part of a music conference, and he had to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure form. And it was many big shots was in there. And the whole meeting was, this was in the early 90s, to come together to bring, it was prisoner guards, it was prisoner people, wardens and people who was investing into the prisons and all that, building up prisons. And them whole meeting was to make the black people adapt to the gangster rap, change the black and proud.
It was a formulation.
You still gotta be
plan.
Willing to do it.
No, here's what we're gonna do, guys. I want everybody to know right now we're about to play some music by Young Haas. All right, he's in the building. Paparazzi TV, another platform is in the building. And we're going to play some music real quick from what they've got going on. And we come back on the break and talk about that. Let me know how you feel about what you hear, everybody. I hope that you like what you hear. It's going to be awesome. You know, don't feel any ways, guys. This is a conversation between us. We don't have too many platforms that allow us to like, do this and have these conversations, because I feel like a lot of times there's too much division amongst us. So I have three different platforms here in the building.
Wow.
With me here at DTF Radio. I've got Uniting Black Voices. I've got Shake 'Em Up Podcast. I got Paparazzi TV. And yo, Butter's always in the mix. What can I say? Let's take a listen, and then we come back and have this conversation a little bit more, man.
Yeah,
internationally, right. Local. This is the platform for the unknown to get known. Take a listen, guys.
It's what it is, man.
Yeah.
It's what it is, man.
Yeah.
Let me pull that up for you. I got you. I got you right now. Got you right now. Yo, thank you very much, Ancestors, for putting us together. I like the way it feels, man. Put it together. Popping right now.
body causing inflammation. That's what we.
Bring it back one time. Bring it back one time. That's Young Highs featuring Corey Flew. I love it. Love it. Love it. We're playing that right now, hun.
718.
Sorry, everybody. We're going to run it back one more time. I apologize for that. We're going to run it back one time. All right?
Back at it, nigga. 718. Let's get it. Yeah. We come from deprivation, lack of money and poor education. Bronx. Niggas will rob your mom with no hesitation. Yeah. Shoot you quick, leave you in a state of vegetation. Uh-huh. Middle finger to the judge, and that's demonstration. For an iPhone, chicks to welcome penetration. Fucking on IG Live, now that's innovation. Damn. Fellatio and dollar bills, that's my stimulation. Uh-huh. Middle child like J. Cole, the crack generation. Uncle Charles, 33 degree, he been amazing. Right, I'm 360 degrees, nigga, I've been amazing. Woo. Nipsey Hussle, Malcolm X, that's my inspiration. Yep. You can hate, but you can't kill determination. Hot slugs through your body causing inflammation. That's what we on if you holding back our information. Fuck 12, time to bring these pigs intimidation. Uh-huh. Fuck a gang, time to start our own federation.
There's no justice, no peace. I see the same shit every time I hit the streets. Listen to me, brother, I don't really want to act out. They say it takes a strong man just to back down. Need reparations, life's like a rumble. Please tell me how the hell Sam is my uncle. God is the father, waiting on the day I'm gonna meet him. Stuck in the jungle, still looking for freedom.
Hate body needs somebody to use. Fuck around, shotgun round, knock you out of your shoes. And everybody got their opinions and views. But I don't live for your thoughts, that's on you. Cracker showing slavery on TV is a mockery. I told his daughter I'ma hit it like the lottery. Got anxiety, nigga, I can't wait. Hands are shaking, palms are sweaty, I'm going eight. Gorilla shit. I feel my music, I don't feel a bitch. Nah. I tell them all from the get, this what you dealing with. This the illest shit ever. I do this shit in any weather. Nobody gotta tell me, get my shit together. Fuck everybody, everybody out to get ya. Cause it don't take 1,000 words, just stare at the picture. I'm raising the standards, we off the Richter, nigga. You thought you had the juice, but nigga, you ain't Bishop. They say life is like a chess game, so move your bishop. I was hustling, trying to get a brick up. Now it's fuck this shit, watch me pick this fifth up.
There's no justice, no peace. I see the same shit every time I hit the streets. Listen to me, brother, I don't really wanna act out. They say it takes a strong man just to back down. Need reparations, life's like a rumble. Please tell me how the hell Sam is my uncle. God is the father, waiting on the day I'm gonna meet him. Stuck in the jungle, still looking for freedom.
I don't know what's going on. I thought Young Haas was paying attention. Come here, Haas. Come sit next to me. Come sit next to me, hon.
Young Haas, if that was your music, that music was dope. Okay.
Did y'all like it?
We just passionate about what we thought. Music was dope.
Tell them something about your music, hon. Tell them a little something about why you felt the need to make that song.
Copy. Well, what's good? It's your boy Young Haas. I'm direct come uptown, Bronx, New York, paparazzi TV in the building. What you just heard was Fuck Uncle Sam. And the reason why we made that song is, you know, it was just how we felt at the time of making the song. That wasn't the title of the song originally. It was another title. But then shout out to Corby Fluke and shout out to Black Grimm. Those are the other two artists featured on the song. Especially Grimm, because, you know, I gave him a concept for the hook and he went ahead and he killed it. Now, in a nutshell, I changed it to Fuck Uncle Sam right around the time when, you know, it's crazy. It's so many people that done died in the last couple months that got killed.
So I had to keep them straight.
I forget which incident happened. So I can't even remember all the way. So I do apologize, but it was an incident that happened that just sparked my brain. I said, nah, we gonna change this title. It's Fuck Uncle Sam. No justice, no peace.
Right.
That's just the type of time we're on, because it's kind of like this. It's what hip hop needs right now. And to add on what you're saying, I agree and disagree with you. Now let me go ahead and tell you why. America, as the brother said over here, is built on violence. The origin of this country is violence. It's just as American as apple pies, they say. And every generation, for example, you were older than me, so your generation might be influenced by the Scarface movie. So you had a lot of people in the 80s that went to the movies and seen Scarface and had aspirations of going ahead and being the biggest kingpins in the world. And I ended up getting a lot of dudes locked up and murdered. The generation before that, right? It was who? The Superfly. And if you see the movie, Superfly won. So everybody thinking that, okay, I'm going to go ahead and be the next Superfly. But nah, most of these guys ended up in graveyards and penitentiaries, right? Trying to be Superfly. And if you could take it a step further back to my grandfather's era, you know, the black and white gangster movies. Same thing. You know, shooting, you know, cops and robbers. Same thing. So it's kind of like you are influenced by what you see. But at the same time, the household, in my household, I understood the difference between reality and fiction. I chose, everything that I did when I went outside, I chose to do it, but I knew right from wrong. Because I had a father that taught me. My mother taught me also. So it's kind of like, but at the same time.
What's your level of ghetto mentality?
The ghetto mentality is, you know, it's not reflective of just one group of people. But I'm from the South Bronx, so you know that ghetto mentality is around every time you come outside. It's reflective of your environment.
I understand that. Mm-hmm.
I had a balance because, you know, my father's Muslim. I'm a Muslim, so in the household, I couldn't bring that ghetto mentality inside the household because my old man was not going for that. I had an old school dad, and I thank God I did, because I'd be in prison or I'd be dead right now. But at the same time, when I go outside, my father, you know, your parents can't walk with you outside. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you're around the people that you see outside growing up than you are with your parents, mom and dad. Whether you're in school for a certain amount of time, you know what I'm trying to say, from like 6-7 hours a day. And if your mom or pops is working or whatever, you might not see them at 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Most of the time, you spend. Is ghetto mentality something that can get curbed or even curtailed to the point of non-existence?
I'm going to ask Shakespeare to jump in because he's been quiet. Shakespeare, give some feedback.
Listen, no, I'm going to let him finish.
Okay.
Let him finish.
I believe so.
Boom! You like me now?
You're coming with the Caribbeans and you're pretentious.
I believe you.
You like to watch people and make sure that what you say is in accordance.
That's right, Rudy.
Fuck. Yo, you got Vaseline in your blood, right?
That's right. I'm listening to Tiger.
Bring the fuckery.
Bring the fuckery. We want to know how the Haitians win with zero weapons against the white man.
Can you believe that? We wasn't having it. That's what happened.
That's it.
Okay.
So how you manage with no weapons and the man them had guns machete weapon.
Okay.
And then they shoot you up and ting and ting.
We had a
and
fierce
you
leader.
Still win.
Yeah, I took your independence.
Police are scared. Yeah. Every day.
You know, I have no sweet Mickey and no panty liners.
We
Nah, no. Puppeteer them come true.
Yeah, rock
high. You mash up the fucking place with your skirts and blouse.
We had a strong leader.
That voodoo right. came into play, right. but you know what I mean?
That voodoo yeah. came into play too.
Yeah, I got
yo,
it.
If you want to be, if you want to be a fucking dickhead for real, yo.
It came from Jamaica.
Hillary and them, Hillary and these motherfuckers is using voodoo against black people like a motherfucker. They in your country infiltrating like a motherfucker.
Are you serious?
Nah, you don't think so?
No, I don't. Say it ain't
fuck
so.
I'm out of here.
I'm down. I like the Clintons, yo. Tell me why.
Because they in there, they own your phone company. They created an earthquake by drilling offshore. They still, they
right?
raping up all y'all kids down
the
in
farm,
Haiti.
The sugar.
They're doing, you, hun, I'm telling you
washing
what you
dirty
already,
money.
I'm telling you what you already know. Right. They had homegirl yeah, come through from DR.
Right.
Homegirl came through from, the white lady came throughout. I
hey,
ain't calling
listen.
Names. They're all in world court right now.
Well, come on, let's give Shakespeare some airtime. Let's give Shakespeare some airtime. Come on.
And guess what? They doing all that and still able to come through your country and rape up the nation.
Right.
And they, I don't know who the specialists are that are teaching them how to utilize traditional black Africanity to their advantage, but that shit needs to end. If y'all know that y'all out there giving them the fucking surplus of how to get this thing done, not
right.
you, I'm just saying, like,
I hear you.
Money is a major issue. Miami.
But we go back.
Feel me?
Let's go, if we're talking about Haiti, let's go back to the earthquake,
mm-hmm.
right? Remember the earthquake?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So during that time, we needed France and Paris
mm-hmm.
to come on in and help little Haiti, okay? So
how when they are part of the opposition?
They took the money, right? They took our richness.
Y'all should have been stopped.
Took the money and made you food dependent. Made you food dependent. Told you to chop down your trees, and then all of a sudden the trees were holding the soil there, and now all of a sudden you can't grow anything in Haiti.
We can't grow nothing now. We have no.
Then you got to borrow money from the IMF to buy food.
Excuse me,
that's crazy.
But that
here's the craziest part. Mm-hmm. Even the rice that came to Haiti. Haiti made rice already. Why the fuck are y'all importing anything from the outside?
Because that's what happens
to
Caribbean
great.
Nations. They are made food dependent.
It's part of a bigger problem, though.
Yes.
Our leaders are sellouts.
Absolutely.
Now.
Now
our leaders are sellouts.
Now,
is he
our non-sellout leaders
Aziz?
Are dead. Okay?
Our
non-sellout
leaders.
Leaders are dead.
Our so-called leaders.
Right.
They are sellouts.
Mm-hmm. In the scheme of things, even the smallest.
Listen, man.
Yeah.
My job is not to make everybody feel thirsty for next week's episode. But I want you to feel thirsty.
I will be watching.
For next week's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to big up my partners on the mics here. These brothers are fantastic. These sisters are fantastic.
Oh,
the music artist was bumping.
Appreciate you.
That's it.
We don't have enough time in the world to talk about what we... And I'm glad that you guys engaged in the But It's Basic show. I had so much that I wanted to give. And what it does is help me build on next week's episode. Because what I've done with this series of this season is make it so that it is the platform for the unknown to get known continuously. We're internationally local here at the But It's Basic show. But right now, the series that I've partaken in for the season is called Anger Management for the Diaspora. And we might have raised a couple of hairs on the back of your neck. We might have made you feel like, yo, I gotta talk about, yo, I need to say something. And this is what radio is about.
Yes.
So this is why I have Uniting Black Voices, Shake 'em Up Podcast, Paparazzi TV. Who can put together? Yo, Butter is always in the fucking mix, man. I don't know if y'all knew, but you know, I love to let
I
you know. And I personally wore this outfit.
Ow.
Just to let you know, Bubba at NASCAR,
no.
I see you.
What?
With the noose that they hung over your shit. He was mad nonchalant about the noose. I'm like, I'm getting mad in my house. Like, yo, how is he not talking?
Right.
He chose not to bring that nigga ghetto mentality to TV.
Emotions.
And emotional.
Right.
He's talking to them how they talk.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to be the angry black man. Give him excuse not to listen to you.
Big up.
Oh, man. I'm thankful.
thankful for that. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. This has been the Butters Basics Show every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. I hope that you enjoyed what we have for you.
Yes, yes.
DJ Hannibal's here. Everybody, please, real quick before we close the show out, make sure you let everybody know where they can find you. They will follow you. I'm thankful. Once again, my ancestors, I have conversations with them in my sleep that have told me, yo, get that melanin. Take that wig off, bitch. Get that, soak that sun in and let's do this.
You're looking real good.
It's okay. Thank you so much. You know, I try. You know, it's just easy. We can get that fupa down and we scrape. Scrape in the streets. Everybody, where can we find you? Yo, Young Haas, where can we find you, honey?
Instagram at BX Young Haas, BXYUNTHAS. Also, Paparazzi TV, PoppaRotz _TV for all independent artists that need promo. Serious inquiries only. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Shakespeare Thomas for the Shake 'Em Up podcast. You can find me on YouTube. Instagram is SHAKE. Shake Them Up Cast. 726 on Instagram. Holla at me. Let's do a show. Let's work.
Oh,
I'm on 7,000.
Yo, International 5 at United Black Voices on Instagram and at International 5. The word International 5 on Instagram as well.
Keeping it simple. MT1906SP91. There it is.
Yeah.
DJ Hannibal in the house.
DJ Hannibal.
Follow me on SoundCloud.
You already know.
Tell him, Mama.
Always stay ahead of the game. Quit while you're ahead. Stay ahead of the game, man. That's all we need to do. Be prepared.
That's where they can find you. Yo, and you know very well you can find me, Butter. GAZZEBO. 2 Z's so you don't sleep. 11210 because I'm a Brooklyn girl all day, every day. Please believe that. Yo. It's the Butters Basics Show. We are the platform for the unknown to get known. And there's so much information that we can share with each other as a people. Mm-hmm. Please follow me at Butters, BUTTERS_basics. And you'll see the link in the bio. You can click and let us know how you feel about the podcast, man. We're going to be on YouTube. We're going to make big things happen this year, 2020. It's a full 2020 vision of everything, man. Up next, we've got great things in store here at DTF Radio. Firestorm is up next, man. Happy Sunday Fun Day, everybody.